What's happening today, man? What's on your mind?
Hey, man. Happy Thursday. Real quick, I want to give a shout-out to really all the track and field runners and spring sports student athletes out there that are competing or already competed for their respective state championships. My son, several of his teammates, they were in. We were in Athens yesterday for the 1A, 3A private and 5A state championships. And unfortunately, man, his relay team just missed the podium, but it was a great day out there, man. Beautiful facility that they built out there, but really cool. This was his first time being at a high school related state championship track meet, so he, like, people got to, you know, he got to see, like, not just runners, but like some of these football players that run that are fast. He got to see, like, all the heat and see what it's really like, and it was a real college atmosphere. I don't know if it was because we were on the campus in the new Specktown Stadium, but it was, man, that facility is beautiful. They built it just right. Like, they clearly went out there, looked at the land, and mapped it out, because the way they built the stadium, the seats are sitting to where you see every single lane.
Oh.
And then, like, they built it where the sun never shined on you the entire time. The sun doesn't, unless you kind of sat on the very, very ends. But if you're, like, kind of in the middle of the entire grandstand, sun doesn't even hit you. Like, they did a great job with this facility out there. So just want to show some love to my son and all the student athletes out there doing their thing for state championships.
Let me get this right, though. Your boy's a freshman, right?
Yes.
He's got a future.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Merely freshman.
Yeah, I was trying to get that. The real reason Clark Lee only had 10 minutes with y'all is because I needed the other five to talk to him. No, I'm just kidding.
I hear you.
All right, quick, guys. Let's talk about the Braves. Did you know they only have two of these? You want to take a guess what the these are?
Well, we just had JD. No, we had JD in here. Bobblehead Knights. What are we talking about?
Two losing streaks.
Oh,
they've only had two losing streaks so far this season. Yeah,
they only lost one series. They should have won the Seattle series based on wasting those four solo home runs first night of that three night.
Yeah, first losing series was or losing streak, I should say, was a three game series or three games in a row back in early April. And then they lost back-to-back when they ended the Mariners series and started the Dodgers series. Other than that, guys, their self-correct is amazing. Like, they're not taking any major steps back whenever they take a loss.
No, we were talking about this earlier when Jermaine Dupri was in studio, guys. Started the show, and he had a lot of opinions on Atlanta sports. Got a big bobblehead night coming up in July. But anyway, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. But, you know, he was asking us, yeah, man, it's legit. I go, it feels a little bit like 21, a sum of its parts. Carl, and you're still going to get the stars. You know, Riley has finally come out of it. He's killing it now in May. You'll get Acuna back. Maybe you'll go get another bat at the deadline. But it just doesn't feel like a little bit, to me, I'm not trying to, you know, project, but 21, everybody contributed. Every night, somebody else would make it happen.
Yeah. It felt magical.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, 23 was also similar. Everybody hit, and it was contagious, and there was not a weak link in that lineup. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough pitching that year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the coming through in big spots. You know, two outs, runners on. Mm-hmm. That's Dubon, by the way. He's been doing that all season long. I mean, like that. There are these moments where, and it doesn't, again, define your season, but what it does define is the makeup of your team.
Right.
And when you get in those situations, you're not worried about your teammates coming through because, man, this is what we've been doing all season long. And I think that does sometimes carry over. But, yeah, I'm with Mike. Like, it feels that way. That last night, to me, felt magical. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those games where you're like, this could go either way. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, we find a way late.
Yes.
Right.
And then you need your bullpen to come in and close these dudes down. And they do. That reminded me, again, of the night shift, mm-hmm. right? Because they became so trustworthy during the 21 season when we won the World Series. But I will say this, and I'm sure Walt Weiss is going to say it probably, you know, eight times before the season is over. Every year is different.
Yeah.
And even though we want to make those comparisons, it is somewhat unfair because this team, their personality is completely different than the 21 team and certainly completely different than the team that led the league in hitting in 23. So I'm with you, man. It's impressive. Let's just keep it up.
Yeah. And last night, getting Imanaga out of the box, because he was that, let's talk to Carl. Some of that stuff was just, it's deceptively fast. He's only throwing like 91, 92, but the sinker is so deadly.
Yeah.
And the movement he gets on it, and he's confident. I like the guy's vibe. But anyway, once you get out of the box, get to the bullpen. So now the Cubbies are really struggling. That's a four. That's four games in a row they've lost.
Yeah, they came in as the hottest team, and I heard somebody today say no, they weren't. Nobody in the league has had two separate ten game winning streaks. Right.
They just happen to have lost two games in a row by the time they came here.
Correct. So it's a little misleading. But I told Mike the first day of this series, their pitching has been in suspect. They got three starters that are out. We talk about our issues.
Right.
So they're going through it too, but I don't care.
Right.
We still have to play the teams in front of us, and we got to win. And this is one of those perceived teams because of the money they spent the offseason. They went and added Bregman. They may be there down the road, but I love what I'm seeing. What's up, O?
Saw a number last night. This was before they lost last night. But the Phillies over their last 15 games went 11-4. And they gained like a half game on the Braves.
Right. Because we've been so hot.
Because we've been so hot. And they lost last night. So they're back down 10 games now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right. Let's talk about the Hawks. Speaking of winning, because we hope that's what starts to happen with them after the lottery.
Ansel Salai
hanging out in Chicago at the NBA Combine. And here's what he had to say. He was talking with Bobby Marks. Here's what he told Bobby in regards to, you know, what he felt he learned about the team after the All-Star break.
I feel like we got a resilient group, a group that really meshed well together, that's a young group as well, that's growing and developing together. Really excited for what Quinn has been doing and how he's been developing our guys. And, you know, Nikhil winning Most Improved Player back-to-back with Dyson. That's, I think, the first time in NBA history that's happened. And, you know, to get to the playoffs, you know, not the way we wanted to end the last game, but you know what? We won two games against a really, really good team. And I think that experience being the first time for a lot of our guys is going to be really important for next year.
Boy, he's got that down, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I like Ansel Salai a lot. I like what he's done. But as I said, now the real work begins because you've turned the team over. And I think the hardest thing for any general manager is how do you make the team better? And if Mike's right and he's got financial constraints, which I hope he doesn't, and he doesn't have an owner, which I hope he doesn't, who says, what do we need to do and let's make it happen? And if we need to be in the tax threshold or whatever it's going to be, so be it. That's a different conversation than, you know what, we need to be under that.
Right.
And we need to be super smart and creative with the moves that we're making. It's going to limit what we're going to be.
Right. Again, I love the fact that we accomplished something, got out of the damn play-in, but, you know, you still are going to have potentially two young starters. Now, they're not going to be in the starting five from this draft class unless, you know, somebody really, you know, hits the ground running and we really knock it out of the park. But, you know, we've debated. Point guard, big, either way, we're going to get that. Or we're going to get either through free agency, because you do have to spend. Just like the NFL salary cap, you do have to spend. The question is going to be, to Carl's point, is Anse of the opinion, look, we're not there yet. So there's no reason for us to get down to one of these aprons, Carl, that we always talk about with Steve Koonin, you know, where, and because Steve always says, when the time is right, we're going to go in. Okay, I mean, I know that Ressler, he is making some good money. He's got his hands all over that development, Carl. Right?
Yes.
Centennial Yards, everything. I mean, and I understand that fans don't want to hear about, you ever give a crap about fiscal responsibility for Liberty? The fact that, like, the Braves are paying down the debt, they made enough money so Cobb County's not, is on the right side of it. Fans don't give a crap. I don't give a crap about any of that. Put the best possible team on the floor. But I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case because it's going to cost too much money.
Well,
I hope I'm wrong.
Funny you say that. Here's what he had to say about the impact of these two draft picks.
Yeah, we're really big fans of this draft, like a lot of people probably say that, but the freshman class that has come in has, I think, impacted winning on a historic level. A lot of good upperclassmen as well. There's a lot of different things we could do with our two picks, but it's really important because, like, we do have a young group, and just adding to that and the timeline that we're on just makes a lot of sense with our development program.
Timeline. That means not spending money, Carl. Timeline. That means not spending money.
Timeline. That's the key word.
See,
timeline.
Again, for guys, Carl, you and I know, for guys that are following, you don't read between the lines. Timeline. That means you're not going to be going crazy spending money. Not that you should if you don't feel you're one. If you're one player away, then go all in. But if you're not, you're not.
Yeah. Look, it's a finite amount of time because you get to a point where the guys who are here will be in their prime and be really good. Jalen's not there yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dyson Daniels is there yet.
Right.
Okay. O just had his best. Okongwu just had his best season as a Hawk. So when you're saying the time, what are we talking about? Because that time between the two picks that you're going to take and their development, which is where the core guys are, like, what are we talking about, Mike? Because you're not waiting another 5 years.
No.
So that's that you know, that timeline thing is interesting. your guys, you're hoping the guys you get are going to come in and contribute. These guys grow exponentially, that they get really good, and then you go supplement with some really big-time free agent moves, and all of a sudden you have a team that can contend. Mm-hmm. But when he says that, I can't wait until these 19-year-old dudes turn to be 28.
Well, that's just it. I mean, by the time that Jalen, now hopefully, you know, he's learned from, again, it doesn't define you, okay? It's a step on the road to your NBA career, how things went against the Knicks. But if Jalen responds and is the badass, and now we're talking about Supermax Jalen, and Naw is a complimentary, you know, Naw is a big piece you don't want to not have. Okay, well, there's $100 million a year right there off the top. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that's the problem. You know, and so when do we, to Carl's point, we get this thing where everything's cooking, the guys have aged out or you can't afford them. So that's my concern.
All right. Well, here's what I'll say. I got one more thing to go out with, a funny thing, but I'll say this.
Ha ha, funny?
I'll end that thing
funny
on this.
Funny how?
Let's remember, Anse was with the Spurs, and he was with
Golden
the Warriors.
State. Yes.
They took some time. All right, last one. We all...
I don't have enough time.
We all love Kenny, Charles, Shaq, and Ernie, and this is just another reason why.
Backstreet's played great. Okay. I'm thinking what everybody is saying. That's a pretty man.
I don't think everybody's thinking that.
Can I ask you a question? Yes, you can.
What are you attracted to him about him?
I'm not attracted to him, but I can hear
you said he's attractive.
He's a good-looking man.
What are you attracted about his good looks?
His face.
His face?
His face. He's a good-looking man.
The ponytail, too. You like the ponytail?
You like the fact that he's wearing
and the headband?
Ponytail, boo-boo.
A t-shirt?
I told y'all about
the t-shirt.
I told you. I don't believe in the man bun thing.
But is a t-shirt?
But you're able to overlook that.
Listen, man, don't be hate. That's a pretty man.
Nobody said he was hating. I just asked you what was attracted to you.
I just don't think, I'm just surprised that was your takeaway.
I gave him his flowers on basketball all night.
Is it the eyes?
So you were looking in his eyes? I would not look him dead in the eyes.
Why?
When that come out after that, I made that mistake with Tom Brady one time.
Oh my God.
There's nothing but gibberish.
So hold on, so you're putting him in Tom Brady's class?
Come on, man. Wait a minute. What are we talking about?
What?
He's in Tom Brady's class.
Wow.
He's a better shooter than Tom
Brady.
Wait,
I have this thing. So you have a type.
Talking about Max Strus.
That's awesome.
That's you looking in his eyes.
It really is. Look, y'all can laugh all you want. I said this. Rick Fox, first time I ran into Rick Fox, I was like, dude, brother.
Right.
Them damn green eyes, stop looking at me, Rick.
Right.
What the hey, man?
You saw what Vanessa saw, huh?
I'm trying to tell you. I'm like, dude.
Right. It was like a 6'7", like Gregory Abbott.
They are. Right? And
light-skinned Canadian, bro.
I don't know about Strus, though, Mike. Charles is making fun and having fun with it, but...
Well, Strus has got the eyes. The chicks dig the eyes. That's what we're... If you're looking down... apparently, Chuck does have a type. But, Strus has got... He's got good cheekbones, Carl, good cheek structure,
yeah.
A very tightly cropped beard, and again, some would say the eye, he locks on the eyes. That's what he's saying.
Carl said a pretty man, and he wouldn't be able to look at him. All right.
That's what's up. Oh, my God.
It's great. That's great. But you're right. That's what makes those guys the best.
You looked in his eyes, didn't you?
Coming up, our man Mike Griffin from Dog
Nation.
By the
way, that's the most interesting thing that's been on ESPN in the last 20 years.
It is. That's, yeah. There you go. It's